Not everybody watches this on YouTube, so I'm going to do an audio description for the people that are listening. Man licks his finger and puts out imaginary fire. Tss, why have I done that? Because I'm sassy. Speaking of sass, hello, Zach Thompson.
Hello, sir. But there's also a second reason that you brought up sass, isn't there, darling?
There is. It's a very good reason. Because we want to teach you on today's episode of Trench Tips how to close more deals in SaaS. And for those of you at home saying, what is SaaS? Listen to a different podcast.
Yes, software has a service.
Has.
And what we're going to do is break down a couple of different ways that people might be overcomplicating it or not thinking about it in the right way. And these are some tried and true methods to close more deals. So the first one, Jack, how do we take something very complicated? How do we take a cloud-based CRM with great API functionality and make it into something that makes me go, ooh, I'd like to take that guy out for a drink?
Yeah, I actually got in trouble because my old sales manager used to come up to my desk and shout kiss. And at the Christmas party, I tried to snog him on the mouth. But what he meant was keep it simple, stupid.
Yes.
Too many people overcomplicate it. We like to do something called pub talk, don't we?
We certainly do. We certainly do. And basically that means, could you characterize what something does, but more importantly, the problem it solves in the simplest possible way, in a way that if you said it to one of your friends in a pub, they wouldn't look at you like an alien. So No one's ever slammed their hand on the desk and gone, oh, I need a cloud-based CRM with great API functionality. What they probably have said is, oh, my life feels quite disorganized. I don't really know where my next deal's coming from. And I've got all these other things in the business that I'd love to be able to use to strengthen things, but I just don't know where to start. Does that sound like you? If so, book here.
Exactly.
So, Jack, making it about the problem in simple language, why is that beneficial?
It's the way that we understand things, and it's the way that we don't want to... Actually, we can scare people off by making it too complicated, and people can listen to something and very easily. We're always looking to tick boxes and say, is this me? Is this not me? If you hear something that's a little bit too scary, it's very easy for you to draw up your own conclusions as to I need that or I don't need that. But if we talk about the problem, people are more likely to move away from pain than towards pleasure and excitement. So can we find those people that have that problem? So what are they saying? Is it a time thing? Is it a money thing? Is it a risk thing? Like you say, what are people banging their head against the wall saying, I'm struggling with X. I'm not getting home until 7 o'clock at night because I'm doing this manual task. So the question to ask yourself, if you've got a piece of software and you want to close more deals, what problem does it genuinely solve?
Exactly. I'll give you an example. We had a client who was working in field software for plumbers and heating engineers and people like that. So we know plumbing and heating engineers, they talk in a certain way, right? I'm going to stereotype them. I'm sorry, but I'm going to stereotype them a little bit. So the first stage is, what do they actually talk like? And the second one is, what language do they actually use? So we went from being a field software for chasing quotes and proposals to, we're invited in by plumbing and heating engineers who, if they're honest, feel like they're sick of writing quotes on the back of fag packets. They're worried about chasing Mr. and Mrs. Smith too many times and annoying them. And they're absolutely sick of not being able to play with their kids at the weekend because they've got their head buried in the 1,000th spreadsheet of the week. Mm. Now, most people that we spoke to really related to that. But when we started off initially with the sort of typical value prop, it just didn't resonate at all. So top tip, make it simple. Little extra pro tip on top of that is, the people you're speaking to, what do they actually sound and talk like?
Yes, I like it a lot.
Next up, Jack, I've got our old friend, book a meeting from a meeting. And where I'd like to talk about this with software selling, and where I think you're going to see the most benefit from this, is all meetings should have diarized next steps, or you can't count them as an opportunity. Am I being too harsh?
You're not being harsh enough. Mr. Thompson. Bam fam, we're big fans of it. You've got to know, kind of, you can't be looking at, it's so much of a mental struggle, isn't it, if you look out at your opportunity or your pipeline and say, I don't know where that's going, I don't know what the next step is. What will happen is you'll have a very clunky, messy pipeline full of opportunities that are going nowhere. So keep it lean, keep your mindset clean, and book a meeting from a mean.
Wow, that was really good. Yeah, that was really good. Yeah, if you're a sales director, you've got a sales team underneath you, and you do that horrible pipeline review meeting that feels like you're seeing the same thing over and over again, get in the habit of saying, when's the next time you're speaking to this person that's got this million-pound opportunity attached? Mm. You'd be amazed how it's like, oh, sometime next week or Thursday next week. What time? I'm going to try and get them in the morning. Try. What you need people to be saying is, we've got a diarized conversation in at 10:30 next week. It's accepted. Only then should it be allowed to be in the pipeline. Otherwise, we're just sort of hitting and hoping, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah. It's great.
You happy for you happy to move on to the next one?
I'd love you. Give it to me like a sucker punch.
Demos. They're fucking shit.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why they're shit, Jack. One of the reasons they're really shit. Oh, I've got a demo in the diary for an hour. Me and you have sat ones before saying, is this taking the piss? It's an hour boring. And a half.
I know.
Boring.
You know what a lot of people do? A lot of people will just run in and give a demo straight off the bat. There's like nothing to like even like demo. What are you demoing? I know for most SaaS platforms, you look at any call recording ones, any CRMs, they do hundreds of amazing things. Hundreds of amazing things. So what are you showing them? In that demo, you're showing all of those amazing things?
Come on.
Don't tell me you are.
Come on. I taught, this is going to shock you, Jack, but I taught a business once that was doing an hour and a half demo, how to do a 10-minute demo, and the closing rate went up. So they showed them less and closed more. Can you believe that?
I can believe it. I can believe it. Because I always think, like, what itch are you trying to scratch?
Exactly. So I'm going to give the people at home a little secret here of how to do this, okay? So before I start a demo, I always say, look, I appreciate you've never seen this before. Sorry, didn't want to burp into the mic. I appreciate you've never seen this before. What does this need to look like to stand a chance of actually being used? Mm. And they might say, what do you mean? And I'll say, well, look, the danger of all these things, there's a bit of a honeymoon period when you buy a new software. And then it's down to, do the team actually use it? Do you use it? Do you like it? Does it look right? Well, to paint a bit of a picture for me, what does this actually need to look like to stand a chance of working?
Mm.
Now, hopefully, all this, what they say is things that you've talked about previously, ease of use, other things like that. But what might happen is they might throw in a curveball. Every feature that comes up at this point as a little curveball needs to be treated like a symptom. And how that might sound is they might say, well, it really needs to be able to plug into Xero, our accounting software. And you might say, yeah, it definitely does that. Not good. Not good. Classic sales. What you want to say is, that's really interesting. That's not come up so far. It sounds like there's a reason behind that.
Mm.
Yeah, because that's our accounting software where we can automate things. We save lots of time. Interesting. Right. And why is it important to save lots of time? I'm going to sound like an idiot when I ask you that. No, because time's really precious at the minute. We don't have much, blah, blah, blah. Deeper, more problem. So that's step one. Now, when we get into the actual demo, what I would say is, based on our conversation so far, I understand we're here to talk about how to solve X problem. Yes. And the reason you want to solve that, and I make it sound as big and scary as possible, I make it sound as complicated as possible to the business. Yes, that's right. Oh, you're dragging me through it again. And I say, right, well, look, I'm going to show you the way that we'd solve that problem. If it's too simple, doesn't make sense, you just got to tell me, okay? Yep, fine, that makes sense. And then I show them how to solve just that one problem in the simplest way possible. And then I say, obviously, you might tell me that was too simple, or there's no way that'd work. Now, when I do that pushback there, what am I looking for?
You're looking for them to say, no, that's perfect. Here's my credit card. It's SaaS. It's monthly subscription. I love that. The line that sticks out to me, and I feel like that could be a book on its own, is treat their features like a symptom. So exactly. When people say they're looking for something, why are they looking for it? Nobody's just looked for something, have they? Just for the sake of it. So I love that.
Exactly. And then I wrap up normally with one problem. And I got this from a guy. He's a bit of a mad guy, one of my first bosses. But whenever he spotted someone getting excited about a product that he was selling, a piece of software that he was selling, they got excited about it, he just stopped presenting. It was like he recognized, like, oh, cool, we're excited. Now I'm not going to show you everything else. And he just moved straight into closing. Now, it was a bit like old school stuff, but I recognize, like, what's the point in going any further than that? So basically what I would recommend from that point is that's how we'd solve that problem. Is there anything else you would like to look at? So I'm not going to be like, yeah. Well, here's what else it can do. Is there anything else you'd like to look at? And they might ask a few more questions. But then when it gets to that point where I've shown them everything that's relevant to them, I'd say, look, there's loads more that this could do. What I'd probably recommend is we focus on just solving this one problem first and see where else we can help further down the line. Well, how does that sound?
Sounds good. You know what I think about a lot? I think that there's so many times I because people do their research, don't they? So let's imagine that people are going into a demo or a discovery call and a lot of buyers are educated. I actually think that it's the total opposite way around. Like, you aren't convincing them to buy it. I think we've gone into to buy systems before and we've been, yes, we're going to get this, and we've been talked out of it. Because they've overdone it, or they've kind of overshared, and we thought actually they've given us the negatives like inadvertently. So I think actually like less is more. Decision fatigue, giving people too many options. There's a great Barry Schwartz book about it. I think it's called The Paradox of Choice, which is like in a world now we live where you can go into Levi's and there's 50 different types of jeans, or you're on Deliveroo and there's all these different types of restaurants. What?
I'm wearing Levi's today.
Wow, congratulations. But that's the thing, isn't it? If you give people too much, they go, ooh, that's maybe for someone else. I just need something quite simple. Yeah. So keep it simple, stupid, as my old boss used to shout at me.
As an aside, there was a company, I can't remember what it was, what software it was, and quite liked it, but then he followed up loads of times before. We had a scheduled meeting in. But he followed up loads of times in the lead-up. And then he got on the call and was like, was that really helpful? Then all the bits in between with a big smile on his face. And we were like, only because we want to be nice to you. No, it wasn't.
No, it was overkill.
Yeah, and it's put us off a bit. And But anyway, and the last little bonus tip I want to give to people, just because it's helped me so much, is proactive referrals. So the amount of times I speak to people and I say... talking about referrals, and they're like, yeah, when people really like us, they come to us and recommend people, or when they move on to other businesses, they recommend us, blah, blah, blah. Proactive referrals are quite different. Yeah. So proactive referrals would come from, I'm talking to someone, it's quite a good conversation, but there's just no real fit there. I might say, well, can I ask you one last question before I let you go? Who else do you know I might be able to help with this? Right? That's a simple one. Who else do you know I might be able to help with this? So every cold call hopefully becomes another conversation. Or at least you get one or two extra conversations a day, one or extra leads, follow-up points. But then imagine if you did that at every other stage as well. Discovery call. The minute I'm trying to get in front of as many people as I can who are somewhat similar to you and recognize these problems, I don't suppose you know anyone else I could introduce myself to. Oh, yeah, actually, I know this guy. And then we're closing. Is there anyone else that you'd recommend that I'd be speaking to at this point? We're starting to work together. There's a kickoff meeting. Who else should I be speaking to? Every step, a little referral notice. Even like happy moments throughout the contract. Oh, thanks, Jack. We've just closed our first deal. Amazing. Actually, you wouldn't be able to do me a favor while we're talking. Do you know anyone else we've got room to take on another client? Like everything having that referral piece to it. I remember when I was working in event sales, I closed three extra clients just by saying, who would you like to be next to you at the event?
Yeah.
So it's got, there's loads of stuff that can be done.
Loads of stuff. And I think it's that kind of thing of, even if they say, oh, probably worth speaking to Zach at, we have a meeting, but I've not spoken to him in years, but I know that he'd probably like something like this. You go to Zach and then you can reference that conversation. So obviously the goal is to get that actual referral, that introduction. But if you're not getting that introduction, how much easier is it to call someone and go, Zach, I've just been on the phone with Jack, we were showing him our software. He said to give you a call. Bang. Exactly. Oh my God. after 15 minutes, if you're not closing more deals in SaaS, what are you doing?
What are you doing? Now, listen, it's the time of the episode that we really like, and I've been enjoying what a lot of people have said. Last week's task, weirdly, a lot of people did, but the guy who it was against hasn't noticed. He hasn't mentioned it once. So having him in my office, people have been messaging him, commenting on stuff, saying how heavy's the ham, and he just keeps responding saying, far too heavy, bro, with a sad face. So, Jack, I think this week it's your task.
My task, I've been thinking about this very carefully. There's a guy in my team who's the head of new biz. He goes by the name of Josh Lau. What I want you to do is I want to message him and say, extra Lau, L-A-U, but hold the sauce, as if you're ordering some sick food in a restaurant. That's extra Lau, hold the sauce. And I sit next to him, so let's see what the chef
Josh
is cooking up.
Lau. J-O-S-H, Lau, L-A-U. That's Josh Lau, sits next to Jack. He heads up the new biz team over here. And we want to message him saying, extra Lau, hold the sauce.
We'll see you next week.